Sean Murphy Show is on the air.
Here's into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown Buffalo. Touchdown Sammy Watkins.
It's show time. It's go time. Let's go, baby.
Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate.
Let's go.
And he's going to be sacked again. He is dropped again.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Tonight on the show, who is the second best quarterback in the AFC East? The Dolphins just paid a king's ransom to Ryan Tannehill. We'll take your calls on that. Ty Powell, Bills linebacker, joins us live at 7:30 tonight. We'll get a Bills and NFL update from Mike Catalana of 13 Wham TV in Rochester. And coming up at 8:30, an undrafted rookie free agent in camp with the Bills, Andre Davis, wide receiver from South Florida, joins us in studio.
If we're all in it, if we're all in it together, we'll win.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
2 hours of Bills talk, NFL talk, coming to you live from One Bills Drive. Good evening. We're back to start another week, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Happy to be here. John Murphy here, Jay Harris producing on the proverbial other side of the glass. As they say, great to be here, and we want to hear from you. The phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, it is 1-888-552-550, or you can reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Good lineup tonight. A couple of Buffalo Bills will be on the show with us tonight. Ty Powell, linebacker, joins us at the bottom of the hour, live on the line. Ty Powell getting rave reviews from head coach Rex Ryan the other day when he talked about some of the standouts in camp so far. This is the quote, the first guy I'll talk about will be Powell, Ryan said last week. He's been most impressive to me. Smart, picks things up quick. He was more of a special teams guy. Quite honestly, if he doesn't play a snap, that's fine with me. That means Preston Brown is fine, but I like Powell, and I think he's really jumped up. Ty Powell is going to join us at 7:30. We'll talk with him about that and talk about how his career has moved along as he wound up here with the Buffalo Bills. Ty Powell came here in 2013 towards the end of the season and didn't really get much of a chance to play that year and then played 14 games last season for the Bills. Ty Powell will be joining us tonight at 7:30, backup Bills linebacker. Our friend Mike Catalana is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. He covers sports, has for decades, at 13 Wham TV in Rochester. Mike also is on the sidelines of the Bills broadcast, the Bills Television Network broadcast of preseason football. We'll get the Rochester take from Mike Catalana a little bit after 8 o'clock. And at 8:30, Bills wide receiver Andre Davis. You know, there was an Andre Davis on the roster, 7 or 8 years ago? And another one right now. He is a rookie free agent from South Florida. Andre Davis will join us in studio, putting in the time, spending long days here at One Bills Drive, trying to make the roster as a wide receiver, a bigger wide receiver. So that's the guest lineup. The lineup for you, what we want you to talk about is A, whatever you'd like to about the Bills or the NFL, or B, the quarterback situation, not just with the Bills, but around the AFC East. The news today, one of the big news stories in the NFL today, Ryan Tannehill, Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill, got a huge contract extension. $96 million the total, $45 million in guaranteed money over the first 3 years. A pretty good year for Ryan Tannehill last year, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 92.8 passer rating. But Tannehill has not taken the Dolphins to the playoffs yet. No evidence that I could see that Tannehill lifts anybody up around him. And yet he's paid $96 million, which is an average of $16 million a year, including $45 million in guaranteed money the first 3 years, a $15 million average. Tannehill, 26 years old, Miami's first round draft pick in 2012. He started 48 games for the Dolphins since he was drafted. 23 wins, 25 losses. I haven't seen it from Ryan Tannehill. I really haven't. Not been impressed with the way he plays against the Bills. Just not impressed with him at all from what I've seen. I don't see it there. But, you know, he's a big guy who is mobile and can make enough throws, I guess, to keep you in games. And here are the Dolphins locking him up through 2020, and locking him up with huge money. They're almost as if they're forced to do so in today's NFL, the Miami Dolphins. I want to hear from you about Ryan Tannehill and about who's the second best quarterback in the league. Let's put aside deflate issues for a second, and let's stipulate that Tom Brady regardless of the inflation level of the footballs, let's stipulate that he is the best quarterback in the AFC East. Who's the second best? Is it Ryan Tannehill? Somebody just tweeted, yeah, Tannehill and Brady are the only two really confirmed starters in the AFC East. Could it be that Ryan Tannehill is the second best quarterback in the AFC East? What does that say about A, quarterbacking in general, and B, quarterbacking in the AFC East? What does it say about Tannehill? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The second best quarterback in the AFC East, who would it be? 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. In the AFC East, here's who you've got. You got Tom Brady and Garoppolo and Garrett Gilbert, the third quarterback, street free agent, Gail Gilbert's son. That's the New England quarterbacks. At Miami, Ryan Tannehill. Matt Moore, who stayed on as an unrestricted free agent this year. Josh Freeman, who's bounced around a little bit. And McLeod Bethel Thompson. The Bills, E.J. Manuel, Matt Castle, Tyrod Taylor, Jeff Toole. And the Jets, of course, Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Matt Sims, fourth-round draft pick Bryce Petty, and a guy named Jake Heaps, a rookie free agent, undrafted. Those are the quarterback depth charts in the AFC East. Is Ryan Tannehill number two in the AFC East? I mean, maybe it's Castle, maybe it's EJ, maybe it's Matt Moore, maybe it's Garoppolo, maybe it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Your thoughts, second best quarterback in the AFC East. And when you look at it and you want, I know that there are many reasons why the New England Patriots have dominated in the AFC East. The number one reason is quarterback, not just who the Patriots have, but the other quarterbacks that have been playing in this division. Look around, you'd have to say that the quarterback depth in the AFC East is probably the worst of any division in football. AFC North, Flacco, solid. Roethlisberger, very solid. Andy Dalton, okay. Josh McCown at Cleveland and Johnny Manziel at Cleveland. With backups like Matt Schaub in Baltimore and any other names jump out? No. But you'd have to say the AFC North, their stable of quarterbacks is better than in the Bills division. AFC South, some talented quarterbacks, including Andrew Luck, Marcus Mariota. Now in Tennessee will be interesting to watch. Blake Bortles coming into his second year down in Jacksonville. Houston, I don't know, Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, Tom Savage. Backups like Matt Hasselbeck in Indianapolis, Chad Henne in Jacksonville. A little bit better than the AFC East. AFC West, Manning, Phillip Rivers, Derek Carr, an up-and-coming star, Alex Smith at Kansas City. Best quarterbacks in division in the AFC is clearly the West. Backups like Christian Ponder on Oakland's roster right now. So some names there. In the NFC East, quarterback depth charts, Tony Romo, Eli Manning, Sam Bradford at the top of the depth chart in Philadelphia, Robert Griffin III in Washington. Backups like Mark Sanchez and Brandon Whedon, not much there. Matt Barkley, a backup still in Philadelphia. NFC North, Cutler and Stafford and Rodgers and Bridgewater, backed up by people like Kellen Moore and Jimmy Clausen. Much better than the AFC East, that group. NFC South, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, and now Jameis Winston at the top of the quarterback depth charts. NFC West, it's Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick and Carson Palmer, Nick Foles in St. Louis. You'd have to say the quarterback depth chart in the AFC East is the weakest of any of the divisions in the NFL, but does that make Ryan Tannehill the second-best quarterback in the division? Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill. I guess he is. I'll tell you what it says. One thing it tells me when you see the Dolphins commit to that kind of money, if you've got a quarterback that you feel pretty good about, you've got to spend to keep him. You don't want to be in the situation that the Bills are in right now where, you know, you're not sure of what you have at quarterback and you're trying to build around him. If you've got the quarterback that you feel pretty good about, you got to keep him. You got to spend the money. The Bills did it not too long ago with Ryan Fitzpatrick. 803-0550, the number. From outside Buffalo, toll-free call 1-888-550-2550. You can join us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Your thoughts, who's the second-best quarterback in the AFC East? We'll start with Mark in Jersey. Hello, Mark. Welcome.
How you doing, John? Yeah, I don't mean to sound like a homer, but I think it's Castle, if you hear me out. He's got a couple of 10-5s on his record. No other quarterback other than him, obviously Brady, have a winning record, period. And anytime, I think a couple of 500 records. Tannehill's receiver core was completely redone. How is he going to adjust to that? Clay was there with him his whole career, the security blanket in Buffalo now. Everything I hear down here, Fitzpatrick is going to be the starter, especially ties. They'll just wait for Geno to stub his toe. And then you have Castle, and I think Castle has shown that blueprint, you know, game manager, when he's supported by a running game, good O-line play, defense on the other side, he can get the job done.
Okay, if he's a starter here, I mean, that's not given yet either. He will compete for the starting job here. But
obviously, but I think
you put him ahead. Tell me how he's ahead of Ryan Tannehill. I'm not disagreeing, but tell me how you put him ahead of Tannehill.
I think he's shown that he can do it. He's shown that when he's supported by a strong running game and offensive line play, he can win. He can be that game manager, whereas Tannehill, he's kind of just middling. He hasn't, you know, gotten that extra two wins or, you know, made that extra play in a game to, you know, push him over the top. And, you know, we've seen Castle do it, you know, even when he played for the Patriots and KC.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Thanks for calling, Mark, calling from Jersey. Yeah, I agree with you as far as Ryan Tannehill. I haven't seen it, and I guess I understand why the Dolphins commit to that kind of money. I mean, what's their other option? Let him play out to 2016. I guess that's the other option, but that would be a dominant topic of discussion all season long if you do that. But I don't know. The Dolphins in a tough spot, I think, and they committed a ton of money today to Ryan Tannehill. Your thoughts on that? Give us a call. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. Is Ryan Tannehill the second-best quarterback in the AFC East? I guess he is, and it's kind of disconcerting to me to think that. A couple of tweets. Frank Alicious tweets in, right now, no question, he's number two, not worth that money, though. Yeah, I agree. Justin Westfall, Tannehill certainly is, but they spent high on him. Quarterbacks are in short supply and high demand. He was top 10 last year. Don Hart tweets in, he'll be the best quarterback in the AFC East on opening day. Obviously, pending on Tom Brady's situation. I don't know. I guess he is. I guess he is the second-best quarterback in the division right now, which, again, is troubling to me. Ken Krause tweets in, it is Tannehill without question. However, the Dalton Kaepernick contracts are what made him slightly above average quarterbacks overpriced. They're just short supply, as somebody tweeted in, and high demand. And if you got a guy, you got to keep him, I guess. 803-0550, the number to call if you've got thoughts on that. Ryan Tannehill, is he, in fact, second-best quarterback in the AFC East? Charlie Oswald tweets in, Tannehill is the second best, but that's not saying much. Not much competition. Jets and Buffalo have not named a starter. Daniel Mahalik tweets, the Dolphins must be trying to bring some consistency to the most important position. Buffalo has not had any of that recently. Gordon Arbor tweets, judging by who could start, Tannehill, Manuel, Taylor, Moore, Castle, Garoppolo, Fitzpatrick, Smith, and Petty in that order. Okay. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to Edric in New Jersey. Hi, Edric. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm Thanks great.
For having me on.
Sure.
My thoughts on that, John, you know, I think after Brady, obviously it's Tannehill. I'm a bit surprised the amount of money he got, John, because he's really struggled against this division.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked to how they lost the Jets that last week of the season. And how they, you know, that Monday night game where they ran the ball 40 times against them.
Yep.
He'd really struggled against Rex. He struggled against Mike Pettine when he was here with us. So I really think I like Tannehill. He's gotten better every year. But in this division, I don't think he does quite well. Because if you can't stretch the field vertically, like he's shown he can't, it's very tough to beat Rex Ryan. And you know, the Jets defense now with Todd Bowles. And Bill Belichick is Bill Belichick, John. But I do believe, talent-wise, he is number two behind Tom Brady. He's shown it. He played very well last year.
He played pretty well. Okay, thanks, Edric. If he's played great games, Ryan Tannehill, I have not seen him. And as I said to Mike Chope earlier, I probably wind up watching around at least the last couple of years, 10 Dolphins games a year, watched kind of closely. If he's had great games, I've really not seen him. I'm sure he's had some really good games, but they haven't presented themselves to me. There was a time a couple of years ago when E.J. Manuel was in his rookie year, and maybe Yeah, I guess it was 2 years ago, and Tannehill was in his second year. I thought, that's the template. That's what you do with the quarterback. You let him play. You stick with him through thick and thin. You eat his mistakes and let him learn from them, and you keep going. And I will credit the Dolphins with doing that. And what do they have to show for it? Nothing. Not a playoff appearance or anything like that. But they've been a little bit better one-loss record than the Buffalo Bills over the Tannehill tenure as opposed to the Bills. But what do they have to show for it, really? Nothing. And Tannehill gets a huge deal now, which just caught me by surprise based on what he has done. I don't see it there. But there is probably not a better alternative. But there was a time when I thought he's the template. He's what you want to do with the quarterback. Just give him time, let him develop, and he will develop. And for Ryan Tannehill, I don't think I've seen that sort of development. I don't know if the Dolphins have seen immense development, but I don't know if they have a better option right now. They could be out there like the Bills, the Jets, and several other teams scratching their head trying to figure out who their quarterback is. Your thoughts on that? Who's the second-best quarterback in the AFC East? And we talk about it tonight because Ryan Tannehill got a huge contract extension from the Dolphins today, $96 million, $45 million in guaranteed money. It's an eye-opener for a guy who I don't think has opened a whole lot of eyes with his play on the field. Give us your thoughts on that. Phone lines open, 803-0550, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Here at One Bills Drive, news of the day, the Buffalo Bills had another day of their voluntary off-season conditioning today. A lot of conditioning work, a little classroom work, a little work on the field, and then this afternoon they took care of business by signing another one of their draft picks. They announced the signing of one of their six-round draft picks, linebacker Tony Stewart, the first of Buffalo's 2 6-round picks. He played with Clemson, 141 tackles, 13.5 for losses, 4.5 sacks, 6'2", 235-pound linebacker, played in 43 career games with 12 starts for the Clemson Tigers, fought through some knee injuries during his time at Clemson. Tony Stewart was our guest on the radio show last Friday night after he wrapped up the Bills rookie tour. And after he signed his contract today, Tony Stewart talked a little bit with our man Chris Brown, Buffalo Bills insider.
Tony, first, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Officially a Buffalo Bill. How does it feel?
Man, it feels awesome. You know, earlier I forgot about signing the contract. So we're just out there playing football. But, I mean, it feels good to kind of make it official, put it on paper, and it's awesome to be part of this organization.
You feel it's any easier? I mean, not that it was a concern, but feel any easier now that from here on out it's just focusing on football at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like once I thought about it, it was a little bit of a distraction trying to make sure I put my name down on the paper. But, you know, now it's just strictly football and, I mean, nothing else to worry about.
And then looking forward here with your opportunity as competition starts on the field in earnest with OTAs coming up here real quick, you know, you got a lot of young linebackers on this roster along with you. Do you feel that kind of puts you on somewhat of a level playing field, obviously behind some of the incumbent starters?
I think so. You know, obviously everybody on the roster is at the linebacker position is pretty young. Also, I mean, it's a new system, so, I mean, everybody's really kind of still trying to learn it. So kind of helps me to level out the playing field. But, you know, really, it just comes down to getting it done.
Right. All right, very good. Tony, listen, thanks very much for the time. Congratulations once again.
Absolutely.
Tony Stewart with Chris Brown. Tony Stewart signing his contract with the Buffalo Bills today. He's played a little inside linebacker, he told us last Friday night. He's played a little outside linebacker. I think he told us he was weak side to inside for most of the practice by the end of last week. Buffalo's six-round draft pick, one of their 2 6-round draft picks this last month, and at least one unsigned draft pick left. That's Ronald Darby, the second-rounder, the cornerback from FSU. Tony Stewart signs his contract. One other kind of Bills-related note today around the NFL. Brandon Spikes, some fans were holding out hope that he might return to the Buffalo Bills. He will not. Brandon Spikes going back to New England on a one-year deal. Spent his first 4 seasons in New England. Came and played with the Bills last year, not an every down player, and had a career low in tackles. And the Bills told him way back around combine time, second or third week of February, that they did not view him as a full-time player. Told him to look around the league. He did. Made a visit to New England at the beginning of the month and signed back with the Patriots. Interesting because Spikes had some kind of veiled negative things to say about Belichick and the Patriots when he left last year.
Right, but it's so far deep into the off season now. I don't know if he had a choice.
Right.
You know, if he wanted to play in the league.
Yeah.
So I think
I just wonder how that'll play. But you know what? One thing about Brandon Spikes.
Yeah, he's got to go back and go, what did I?
That misquoted. Yeah. But he wears his heart on his sleeve. I think that's why he endeared himself to so many Bills fans. I mean, he was right out there, told you exactly how he felt, played hard. Played well when he was on the field, just could not get on the field a whole lot. And I think the Bills feel like they are better off with people like, people like Preston Brown and Nigel Branham and maybe Ty even Powell. Our guest Ty Powell coming up at the bottom of the hour. Talking a lot about the contract signed by Ryan Tannehill. Is he, in fact, the second-best quarterback in the AFC East? He probably is. And it's hard. I say that with that way because it's hard for me to believe that. I don't think he's that good. Some of our listeners say he is not the second best, but let's hear from you. 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Call here from Colin in Hamilton. Colin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, John. This is Colin. Listen, I actually agree with you. I think Tannehill is the second best quarterback, but I think that's really a serious indictment of the division. And I also am very glad the Bills didn't have to pay him that much money because I don't think he's worth it. Not even close.
I don't think he is, but what do they do? I mean, do you let him get away after 2016?
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's a tough call. To be honest, I think they should let him prove it this year. And he's going to get paid no matter where he goes if he's worth it, right? So I think if you're the Dolphins, let him prove it, and then you're going to pay him anyways, right? So I don't know. It's tough, though. And what it does now is it drives the price up for Russell Wilson. He's going to get a huge deal. Now, I had one question for you. Do you think there's any loss for the Bills losing Brandon Spikes? Is there going to be a huge drop-off with that, or is it just, he's not an every-down player, so it's not going to matter that much?
I don't think there'll be much of a loss, and I think they evaluated it pretty closely. No, and that's not a knock on Brandon. I think, at this stage of his career, he can't play every down. He can't really – you don't want him on the field in obvious passing downs. And as I said, the Bills have some good young players. Nigel Branham at linebacker, Preston Brown, who played every snap last year. Our guest coming up in a few minutes, Ty Powell, I think, has a role to play on this defense this year. So, no, I don't think it'll be a huge loss to lose him, Brandon Spikes, although I wish him well. I think he's a good guy and a pretty good teammate. A couple of other tweets on the question about quarterbacks and Ryan Tannehill. Joe Cinelli tweets in, the Fish mortgage their foreseeable future on a fixer-upper. That's kind of the way I look at it, too. They've given a ton of money and a huge cap hit and a huge, $45 million guaranteed money over the first 3 years on a guy who's pretty good. But I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. Corbin Dallas tweets, the biggest problem for me ranking quarterbacks in the division is the unknown commodity, Emmanuel and Taylor. Yeah, and the Jets too, right? Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's going to play at the Jets? So it is a problem. That's why I went down the depth charts for those teams. Ken Krause tweets, quarterbacks really have all the pull now because if a team doesn't overpay for a better-than-average quarterback, another team without one will. That's true. The Bills, to my mind, were interested at least, and interested to the point where they were probably thinking about kicking the tires on Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill's backup down at the Dolphins. He was a free agent. Didn't get away. The Bills never got a chance. Nobody really got a chance. But I think there would have been some interest there in Matt Moore in this offseason when free agency approached. The Dolphins locked him up. I mean, there's an example of how desperate teams can get when it comes to quarterbacks. Tyler Traub is an interesting tweet. I wish the Bills would be as patient with EJ as the Dolphins have been with Tannehill. Yeah, I do too. I do too. And again, I'm not advocating. I've said this over and over. I'm not advocating give the job to EJ. Give it to him. I want to see EJ earn the job. Really want to see him earn the starting quarterback job here in Buffalo. Not be given it, but earn it. And that will start in earnest over the next several weeks and especially months when we get to a training camp towards the end of July. All right, we'll talk more about this. Quarterbacks in the AFC East. Brady on top, but is Tannehill number two? He certainly, if you look at his W-2 stub, he certainly is paid like one of the great quarterbacks in the league. I don't know that he is. We'll talk more about that. We'll open up phone lines as the night goes along. We're just getting started. We got later on tonight Andre Davis, name you may not have heard, but he's an undrafted rookie free agent in camp with the Bills. Got a great story to tell about his time at the University of South Florida and his effort to make the team here. Coming up also next hour, Mike Catalana from 13 Wham TV in Rochester. His thoughts on the Bills and the Patriots and everything going on in the NFL. And coming up next, Ty Powell, linebacker for the Buffalo Bills, getting set for his third season in a Bills uniform. He'll be joining us live when we return. Just getting underway, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live tonight from One Bills Drive, where the off-season voluntary conditioning program continues for the Buffalo Bills. And next week, organized team activity. And I don't know if teams are making, you know, guys are making or losing roster spots this week, but there's certainly a lot of work going into it. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline is a guy who knows all about trying to hang on to roster spots. He's bounced around the league a little bit and seems to have found a home here with the Buffalo Bills. Linebacker Ty Powell joining us on the line right now. Ty, thank you for being on the air with us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is good for you, right, to come to stay with the Buffalo team after a couple of years of bouncing around from Seattle to the Giants and then the Buffalo a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, it was quite a journey at first, but then, you know, I got here and got settled in, and, you know, this organization is going in the right places. So, you know, it's good to be in a place like this.
Hey, Ty, what's the typical day like for you guys right now in this voluntary conditioning phase of the offseason? What do you guys do?
We go in and, you know, we're split between offense and defense. So, you know, defense, we run, condition, and lift first. And then we go in and have our meetings. And then we'll come out on the field and get some special teamwork in. And we'll have a little indie with our coaches on the field and, you know, end with a little walkthrough. That's pretty much our days.
It's not a short day, is it? I mean, you come in at 7 in the morning. You guys are here at least half a day, if not a little bit longer, huh?
Yeah, it's not like a regular work day, but, you know, we're in there for most of the day. And, you know, after, you know, usually go get, you know, get some, get in a cold tub or, you know, get some extra stretching in or whatnot.
Ty Powell on the line with us. Ty, one of the reasons we reached out to you to be on the show today were the comments last week from head coach Rex Ryan. He was asked to talk about standouts on the field through the first few weeks of the workouts. And here's what Rex Ryan had to say just last Wednesday.
I'll tell you, the first guy I'll talk about will be Powell. Powell's been the most impressive to me. He just smart, picks things up quick. And obviously he was more of a special teams guy. And we don't, quite honestly, if he doesn't play a snap, that's fine with me. That means Preston Brown's fine. But I like Powell. I think he's really jumped up. To me, that'd be the number one guy.
That is Rex Ryan talking about Ty Powell. What do you think of that, Ty? Did you hear that last week when Coach Ryan said that?
No, yeah, people told me about the comments, but that was my first time actually hearing the audio of it. But, you know, coming from Rex, you know, that's pretty high praise right there, you know.
What do you think you've done to catch his eye through the early portion of these workouts?
Well, I hope it's just my work ethic and coming in every day and, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do and keeping my head in the book and, you know, learning their scheme and everything.
How different is this scheme from what you've been used to the last year and a half with the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, it's you know, my first year here, they had the same defense and with Petty and everything. So, but I was playing outside, so now I'm inside. And yeah, I played inside last year, but, you know, it was a different scheme. So, you know, it's a learning curve, but, you know, it's nothing that, you know, I won't be able to accomplish.
I read a quote you gave to my colleague Chris Brown, who wrote a story on the website about how since you started college, you said you played six different positions. What different positions have you played, Ty?
I see. I played my first year. I played corner, and then I moved to free safety, and then I played rover, and then after playing rover, I moved to DN, and then once I got in the league. Well, with Seattle, I was playing their Leo position, which was DN, outside linebacker. And then when I came here, I played outside linebacker. And then next, last year, I played Mike.
And this year, you're inside linebacker as well, you said, right?
Correct, yeah.
Are you comfortable there, Ty? Or of all those positions, let's rule out corner. You're not comfortable playing corner, I wouldn't think. But of all those positions, what have you been most comfortable at?
I love playing Mike. I feel like it's natural for me. And when I first got in that position last year, you know, it just felt right standing up over the ball and everything. And it really helped, you know, with having, you know, they brought in Brandon Spikes. You know, they had Keith. You know, the older guys, veterans, has been doing it for a while. You know, it helped being in meetings with them and learning from them and watching them. And, you know, of course, Nigel. That guy's, you know, he's a baller. So, you know, it's always fun watching Nigel.
You're playing with Nigel Branham, you know, big-time FSU guy. And, of course, Preston Brown is in that linebacker core, played at Louisville. You come from a different place, don't you, from Harding College, which I believe is where in Arkansas somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's Division II in Arkansas.
Let's go back a little bit, Ty. Tell me, you grew up, I believe, in California, right, like Monterey Peninsula area of California?
No, I actually grew up in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. All right. So how did you went to junior college first, though, right?
Yes, I went to JUCO. Yeah.
Okay, and then how did you find your way to Harding College?
Well, I guess I'm getting calls from a lot of schools, but with JUCO, that had a little pipeline, so the head coach of Harding contacted me, and you know, I was talking with him, and I went to visit, and the environment just felt right, and you know, I fell in love with the place, and ended up committing there.
Ty, are there any other NFL players over the recent years from Harding College?
There was some a few years back. I think it was Tank Daniels. I think he was playing with the Giants. And then this year we actually have a guy who came out, Donatello Luckett. He's with the Chiefs this year. This is his first year.
And you were a seventh-round pick of Seattle a couple of years ago. Tell me about that experience and spending most of that time, I believe, on the practice squad with Seattle for a year or more, right?
Yes. I was that first year I was looking until week three. I was on and off the practice squad, and then I took a chance and decided to go test the waters and go elsewhere. And then I ended up going to the Giants for about 2 weeks, and then that's when the Bills picked me up off their practice squad.
Yeah, the Bills signed you. They had to. That's a way to get a guy off the practice squad, and they must have seen something, Ty, when they signed you October of 2013 to clear a roster spot for you a couple of years ago. Did you ever talk to the scouts or the personnel people who made that move and ask them what they saw, why they brought you on here?
I haven't. I have not been able to talk to them about that. But I know going through the phase of, you know, go through the draft and everything, I talked to quite a bit of Bills scouts and personnel and all that, so I've talked to more Bill scouts and all that than I did any other team, so, you know, there's no coincidence that I think I ended up here.
Yeah, so they had some interest in you even when you came out of Harding College. Last year, you managed to play most of the games, but most of that time on special teams. What did you learn from your time on teams last year, Ty?
Oh, you know, this is my second year being on teams, so, you know, I got really comfortable with it, and I mean, for me, teams is, that's fun, you know, it's kind of, you know, sometimes they can get really hectic out there, and it just kind of turns into backyard ball, and you know, you've got to make a play.
Can you apply any of those lessons when it comes to playing on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah. Like, punt return, you know, most time, like, if you want to rush, you know, you can throw in some, you know, like when I played, you know, outside linebacker and I rush, you know, if I'm going to block a kick, you know, I can throw some skills into that, you know, to the guy I'm going against. Or, you know, just using leverage on trying to get to the ball, or, you know, shed a blocker and all that.
You had one game where, and I think it was the game in Detroit against the Jets when you came up with your first sack and made a couple of plays on defense. That had to feel pretty good to make plays on the defensive side of the ball late last season, I would think, huh?
Oh, yeah. That felt amazing. You know, luckily our defense, destroyed that game. They was holding the offense, so, you know, I was able to get a chance to go in there and, you know, make some plays myself.
Ty, what is your goal for this year as far as on this Buffalo roster? Where do you want to be when the season begins in September?
Well, I mean, God willing, you know, I want to be on the team, and, you know, yeah. I want to be on the field, and I just want to be a, you know, contributor to the team to, you know, make it to that Super Bowl.
I mean,
I think we have a real great chance.
Is there a starting role in your future, do you think? Is that what you have your eye on?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't wake up without that thought in my head, you know, saying, you know, I want to start.
Well, Ty, best of luck to you. Thank you very much for being on the air with us tonight, and we'll see you around the building as the off-season conditioning continues. Thanks for coming on with us.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Ty Powell, linebacker, playing on the inside this year after spending a lot of time an outside linebacker and a lot of time on special teams. He was the fifth leading tackler on Bill's special teams units last year, and a guy who's already won high praise from his new head coach, Rex Ryan, as far as what he's shown him in the offseason workout so far. We'll take a break here. When we come back, the phone lines will be reopened, and we'll talk a little bit more about this quarterback thing. Huge contract today for Ryan Tannehill. Is he worth it? Is he the second-best quarterback in the AFC East? He probably is. Just can't get my arms around that. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo. It's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live tonight at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Ty Powell for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Talking about quarterbacks tonight, and you're welcome to join us. Phone line's open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. And you don't have to talk about quarterbacks, but that's what we started with tonight anyway. And your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill's contract. Your thoughts on the Dolphins committing to Ryan Tannehill. $45 million guaranteed, $69 million over 6 years. Is he the answer for Miami? You know, believe me, I don't lay awake at night and worry about the Miami Dolphins. But, holy mackerel, is he the guy? Is Ryan Tannehill the guy? Is he, in fact, the second-best quarterback in the AFC East? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. He's got 23 wins, 25 losses in his NFL career so far. Ryan Tannehill does. He's got a huge contract extension now through 2020. The Dolphins probably felt like they were in a bind, probably thought they didn't have a whole lot more that they could do. You know, the Dolphins, last time I looked, had the most dead money in the NFL as far as dead money against the cap. That would be alarming, I would think, for Dolphin fans. They think your team leads the league in dead money. And there's a chance, I mean, I'm not saying that this is going to backfire on them, but there's a chance that the Tannehill contract could end up biting them moving forward. I don't know. It's a lot of money. Give us your thoughts on that. 803-0550, the number. I just never have been impressed with Ryan Tannehill. I've never been that impressed. There'll be flashes from time to time. You'll see him sometimes and think, okay, that's okay. But to commit to him with that kind of a deal, pretty amazing, I think. Ryan Tannehill, and he probably is, by default, the second most accomplished quarterback in the AFC East. I mean, I would hope that E.J. Manuel has a bigger upside. We're going to find out a lot about that this year. Matt Cassel has a longer record of production, although Cassel has a negative one-loss record in the NFL. Geno Smith, big question mark. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think we all feel like we know him pretty well and what he does for teams. Is Ryan Tannehill really the second best in the division? Here is AJ calling from Clarence. AJ, your thoughts on that. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for having me. Love the show.
Thank you.
But, you know, we all talk about how we're expecting these guys to come out of college and play really well and win games right away. And really, I think Tannehill has had the best chance to have a couple years to not, you know, take people to the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, he's supposed to blossom into this, you know, maybe not Aaron Rodgers, but a guy that can consistently get you to the playoffs. So I think this is a test to see if the old method of, you know, grow a quarterback and have him for a while and keep him on your team long term, see if it does as well. You know, it does well.
Yeah.
So let me hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a really good idea, AJ. I guess it's an expensive test if they're wrong, which would alarm me if I were running the Dolphins. And, you know, it's, I mean, can you fast forward? What if, let's speculate, what if E.J. Manuel has a pretty good year this year and he has not had the starts or the experience that Ryan Tannehill had in his first two seasons, but what if E.J. Manuel has a pretty good year, established himself as a pretty good starter? I'm not saying Pro Bowl, but, you know, like a year like Tannehill has had. And then the Bills a year from now are in that same situation. Are they ready to commit that kind of money, that kind of term to E.J. Manuel? And Tannehill, you know, has had more opportunity, obviously, to show what he can do at Miami. Has he done enough to merit that kind of contract? And our team's so desperate for quarterbacks now that your back's against the wall that you have to come up with that kind of contract. I think it's more that than anything Tannehill has done. I mean, keep in mind, the Dolphins have switched general managers, so the people that drafted Ryan Tannehill are no longer there. They've inherited him, and it would probably not be that hard if they wanted to play it safe and not commit. That's why I'm surprised that they've committed so much money and that much term and that much guaranteed money primarily. That is a lot more important than the term, $45 million over the next 3 years, reportedly. I'm surprised that they would do that for a guy who, to my mind, has not demonstrated that he is the answer at quarterback. They've had a good, solid defense. They've added weapons around him this year, certainly with the wide receiver they drafted out of Louisville. But, man, that's a lot of money. And I just think it's indicative more of where teams are when it comes to quarterbacks in the league as opposed to anything that Ryan Tannehill has done. We will pick up this discussion next hour, and you are welcome to join us. You can do it over the telephone, 803-0550, or you can call from outside Buffalo toll-free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Ryan Tannehill, really? Second-best quarterback in the division? I guess so. What are your thoughts on that? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Also, next hour, Andre Davis, undrafted rookie free agent in camp with the Bills, comes out of University of South Florida trying to earn a spot on a pretty talented wide receiver depth chart here in Buffalo. And Mike Cannellana, who covers the Bills and sports in general for 13 Wham TV in Rochester. He's coming up next hour as well. 1 hour down, one to go. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live tonight at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Keep spilling your blood for one another. Let's go get it now.
Woo! Let's go.
Bills on three. One, two, three.
Bills. Safety. 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 Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Halftime is over. Short halftime. Usually halftime's 12 minutes in a game, Jay. What do we got? 6, 7 minutes?
Maybe? We don't have time to wait around here. We got to get right back at it.
We're back at it for another hour, and coming up later this hour, Andre Davis, Bills wide receiver, undrafted rookie free agent from South Florida, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Mike Cannellana from 13 Wham TV in Rochester, his take on Bills and NFL stuff. And I'm sure Mike's got some interesting thoughts on the Patriots situation. He's coming up in a couple of minutes. We're talking to you at this point, however, about the Ryan Tannehill contract. Contract extension for Ryan Tannehill through 2020. And it's a deal that pays him, guarantees him, I might say, $15 million a year over the next 3 years, $45 million guaranteed, $96 million in the six-year contract. How about that? Is he, in fact, the second-best quarterback in the AFC East? He probably is, as difficult as that may be to believe. Give us your thoughts on that. Ryan Tannehill, is he behind Brady and then the rest of the pack after Tannehill? Is it EJ and Castle and Tyrod Taylor and Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick and, I don't know, Matt Moore? 803-0550, the number to call on that. How would you rank those quarterbacks in the division? And how bad is the overall quarterback level in the AFC East compared to other divisions? Our friends at SpotTrack, the team contracts and payroll website, Mike Giannini lives right around the corner here in Orchard Park. A couple of tweets on the Tannehill contract. With that extension, Tannehill, according to SpotTrack, will be the sixth highest average paid NFL player. Ryan Tannehill. Sixth highest paid player on an average basis. His reported $45 million guaranteed, according to SpotTrack, tied with the Chiefs' Alex Smith as 11th most among NFL contracts. Just kind of amazing, really. And as I said, SpotTrack has figured out that the Dolphins have the most dead cap money in 2015. Dolphins followed by the Saints, the Bucks, Ravens, and the Chiefs. Very interesting stuff from SpotTrack. Your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill, the money that he's getting, the commitment, more than the money, it's the commitment, the Dolphins show that I guess shocks me. The commitment they show to extend him, to pay him that kind of guaranteed money. I mean, they got to be convinced that he is the best option they have right now, Ryan Tannehill. And that's where they come up with a big deal like that. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Scott Solani tweets, Tannehill's contract may be a reaction to the state of NFL quarterback play. Only a few superstars, perhaps no other options. I agree. It says more about where NFL quarterback play is than it says, I believe, about Ryan Tannehill. Jim Eimer tweets in, Rankin and Brady, number one, Tannehill, number two, Fitz, number three, Castle, number four. And then he says you should have a discussion ranking the defenses in the AFC East, Bills and Jets, both very good. Yeah, I agree. I think the Bills might have the edge there. Clayton Waller tweets asking, is EJ guaranteed $2 million this year, and if cut, would it be a cap hit? So would it be worth it to cut EJ? I guess we're talking, I don't know. I mean, the cap hit is $2 million if he gets released. I know that was out there discussed a little bit today. Wouldn't you like to see if EJ can play, can help win before you start talking about cutting EJ Manuel? I don't know that he can. I've said it 100 times. I hope that he gets a chance. I know he'll get a chance to compete for the job here, and I hope he wins it. I think it's best for the franchise moving forward that a young guy like EJ Manuel, still on his rookie contract, I think it's best for the franchise if he becomes the quarterback the Bills hope he can become. I wouldn't look into cutting EJ Manuel. Now, if he doesn't play well at camp, that's a different story. But, it would be a $2 million cap hit if he is released. But I don't think I'm pretty sure they're not looking at that around here right now at One Bills Drive. I think the focus is on coach him up, teach him the offense, see what he can do. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe we can win with him. They're going to find out. Talking a lot about quarterbacks tonight, you're welcome to join us. 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Some non-quarterback news, Justin Smith, another defection from the Niners. He's retired, the defensive lineman. The announcement coming today, the third member of the 49ers defense to retire this offseason. Patrick Willis stepped down. Chris Borland stepped down. Justin Smith, very solid defensive end, says his left shoulder not responding to treatment. He says, quote, when you're on bald tires, you're on bald tires. It's a young man's game. Just time for me to move on. The 49ers had been ready. They've drafted 10 defensive linemen since 2011, including this year, Eric Armstead. So they were waiting on Justin Smith. He'll be 36 years old late September this year. Fourth overall selection in the 2001 NFL draft. Spent 7 seasons with Cincinnati. Came to the Niners as a free agent signing in 2008. Boy, it seems like it was more recent than that. They got good years out of Justin Smith. Really good years. But he has decided to step down. Here's a name that we're familiar with here, Buffalo Bills fans. Derrick Rogers, remember him? One of the darlings of 2013 Bills offseason and training camp. Wide receiver, Derrick Rogers. He signed with the Bills undrafted in 2013, but was cut at the end of training camp. He came out of Tennessee Tech, started his career at Tennessee, and got basically run out of the volunteer program. Led the SEC in receptions with 67 catches, 9 touchdowns, thrown off the team for disciplinary problems, finished his career at Tennessee Tech. The Bills took a flyer on Derrick Rogers, brought him to training camp in 2013. He had his moments, nothing special, but they released him at the end of training camp. Later that year went to the Colts and actually had a 46-yard catch in a playoff win over the Chiefs. He was sentenced today, Derrick Rogers, a long way of getting to the punchline here, sentenced to 1 day in jail, 6 months of probation as part of a 2014 DUI case. He was signed at the end of last year by the Kansas City Chiefs, trying to win a job on the Chiefs roster as a backup. Derrick Rogers, sentenced today, 1 day in jail, 6 months of probation for a 2014 DUI case. And finally, Bob Kraft spoke out today, actually spoke up to Peter King on his website, mmqb.com. Patriots owner called the Wells report issued a couple of weeks ago was unfair, and Kraft said he is still considering his options in the wake of the NFL discipline. 4 games for Tom Brady and the loss of draft picks and $1 million fine for the Patriots. Kraft told Peter King, I'm still thinking things out carefully. But when you work out for something your whole life, and then his voice kind of trailed off, I guess. First time that Bob Kraft has spoke publicly since the decision last week to fine the team $1 million and to take away those draft picks. And, of course, first time that they've spoken out since Tom Brady had the 4-game suspension. Kraft said there is no smoking gun. He says it is frustrating and they don't have it. And he says, I do agree with this. Bob Krepp says, the thing never should have risen to this level. All right, we'll see. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We are live at One Bills Drive tonight. Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, a close observer of all things from the Bills and the NFL. He is a sports director at 13 WHAM TV in Rochester, sideline reporter on the Bills television network, preseason football. Mike Catalano joins us. Mike, thank you very much for coming on the air. We appreciate it.
No problem. Murph always looks forward to it.
Hey, we were throwing this question out, and I'm interested in your take. So Ryan Tannehill gets the big contract, the big extension from the Miami Dolphins today. And the question is, and I think I know the answer, it's just hard for me to accept, is Tannehill, in fact, the second best, second most accomplished quarterback in the AFC East?
Well, he almost has to be by default, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what we're saying, yeah.
And they're in this position where, what do you do? I mean, do you pay him and you try to get yourself some cost certainty? You also hope that he, you know, he has to play his way into the deal. You try to keep the, even though we laugh about it, but you try to keep the guaranteed money to a workable number. And I guess for them, it's similar, at least what I'm reading, it's similar money to things like Andy Dalton has gotten and Colin Kaepernick have gotten. And you then hope that he exceeds what he got. And it's funny, I mentioned those two guys, and since they signed their deals, actually, they both probably took a step back. Yeah. And so you look at Tannehill and you say, all right, they're looking at him saying, we hope you're our guy. You've shown moments of being the guy. Now you have to go out and prove it. And what's funny, Murph, is, you know, it used to be that you paid the guys like this before they ever took a snap.
That's
so I guess
true.
On the plus side, since they changed the rookie wage scale, those quarterbacks aren't getting the big money before they play. But, man, he's going to have to earn it. And I guess, you know, as a Bills fan, if you're listening, you're looking, going, they've done pretty well against Tannehill in his time in the league.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not like Brady.
Well, yeah. And here's the thing, and I guess more than the dollar figures, the money, the extension and what it represents is what surprises me, Mike. It represents a pretty solid commitment, actually a really solid commitment by the Miami Dolphins, basically saying he's our guy moving forward. And maybe I'm missing something, but I've never gotten that feeling that Ryan Tannehill is their guy or should be their guy.
Yeah, I think it's those circumstances, too, where you don't know how Joe Philbin's long-term future is going to be there. They've gone out and tried to get him some more weapons. They've tried to improve the defense. I mean, they're building around him, I guess, in that way. But I think they would certainly feel better about this if he had shown more, and there was no doubt. I mean, it was just last year where, I mean, Philbin was totally noncommittal to him. And then, you know, Tannehill responded with a few really solid games. He hasn't really done anything to look more like, in general, an average quarterback. I think maybe they're thinking his best football is still ahead of him. If you're, you know, if you're running the Dolphins, you're saying is we're buying into him now. Now, you could go the other route, let him play it out, and then see where you are. But teams don't seem to be as inclined to do that. If they think they have a guy, they sign him and then hope that he kind of plays up to that level.
Yeah, we're in such a weird spot in the NFL with quarterbacks, Mike. And about a year ago, there were signs from Tannehill. About a year ago, I thought it's kind of what the Bills had to be hoping for from E.J. Manuel. You know, a guy who gets better. He's not instantly great right out of the box. He's not Andrew Luck. But you invest some time, you invest some resources, you build around him, and maybe he becomes a guy you can win with. I don't know. Are we a year away from the Bills having to think about that kind of commitment to E.J. Manuel if he comes through this year?
Well, yeah. I mean, he'd have to show a lot, obviously, you know, in this season. And that's what's interesting, Murph. I'm curious what you think, too. We know Joe Viscaglia does a nice job. Now he's at, you know, Channel 7, and Joe is always thorough, and he puts his opinion out there. But I read his piece, which I think is probably true to whatever extent. Like, EJ's got to show something, and I think that's true of a lot of players in the league, where you would say you got to show something, you'd be gone. What I noticed was, it's this day and age in our business, I guess, or in general, but that was picked up in many places around the country almost as a report, like there was somebody from the Bills saying if he doesn't do something, he would be gone. Now, you can infer that maybe in things that you say to people, but I think it's almost always a prove-it-to-me business in the NFL, and some guys are just a little closer to that than others. So, I mean, I think EJ is going to get an opportunity to prove what he can do and be confident. And if he takes that step, like you said, a year from now, he could be talking about an extension and money for EJ as opposed to people thinking they're going to part ways with him.
It sounds like you were eavesdropping in our office here at One Bills Drive today, because that's exactly what we were saying, Mike. I mean, I said to the guys in our office, yeah, you could say that about EJ. He needs to perform this offseason and through training camp. You could say it about 20 or 25 other guys in that Buffalo locker room, too. And they're all kind of in the same boat, especially with the new coaching staff. And I also agree with you about how it's picked up nationally to the point where I came across the tweet from Sports Illustrated, which based on that report said, the tweet was, well, with EJ Manuel on the outs in Buffalo, I mean, I'm thinking, what do you mean he's on the outs? They're trying to figure out if he's the guy. He's not on the outs. Am I missing something?
And like I said, look, I mean, and Joe's, you know, I know Joe's got his pulse on what's going on there, but he wrote a column, which mm-hmm. is what a lot of people do. And I think it's, you know, based in observation of what you see. But that's a big leap from that to the organization making any statement or saying anything about EJ being out the door. I think he's going to get an opportunity, certainly a big opportunity this year, maybe something that, you know, they had lost faith in him last year with a different regime in Orchard Park. But, yeah, that's just the way I took it. I even actually reread it a couple times, thought maybe I missed something, but I don't think that I did.
We're on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with Mike Catalana, the sports director at 13 WHAM TV in Rochester, sideline reporter on the Bills preseason telecast. If you have a comment or question for Mike to discuss any of this, phone lines open 803-0550 or from outside Buffalo, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Mike, I've said on this show about the Bills quarterback situation, I think it's best for the franchise if EJ wins this quarterback competition, but I want him to win it. I don't want him handed the job. I think he needs to earn it. And if he does, I think that will be good for everyone concerned because the Bills can move ahead with a young quarterback in place.
Yeah, 100% agree. And, you know, he was in, if you look in hindsight, it was almost the worst circumstances for EJ. You know, we've talked about this where he wasn't brought in to be the starter right away, but he ended up doing that because, actually, in addition to Kevin Cobb's injury, he played pretty well in the preseason at that point and started out pretty well. But, you know, a lot of things happen. Rookie offensive coordinator, new head coach, all these things. And so he starts to, you know, regress, had some injury issues. And then you come back again the next year and he doesn't. That's where I think he was almost a disservice. That he didn't have great competition, which would have forced him to be the guy to earn that spot. Now, he definitely has it this year. I mean, Matt Cassel, he's played in the league and he's won in the league before. So he will definitely give him competition. And let's be honest, Rex Ryan, you know, didn't pick EJ. He inherited him. So I think he's going to look at it and say, go out and earn the job. But you are right. If he responds and comes out and plays good football during camp and during, you know, preseason, and he earns the job, as opposed to, say, Matt Cassel or Tyrod Taylor not playing well. He earns it and plays well. I think that's great news for the Bills.
Mike, with OTA starting next week and the Bills' mini camp coming up just a couple of weeks away, mid-June or so, I have to believe we're not too far away from the timetable question when it comes to quarterback. When people start asking, well, when will you have a decision? When do you need to name your quarterback? What's your thoughts on that? Is this going to be one of those deals where you play a couple of preseason games and it goes until, like, preseason game number three? Or how do you think that will play out?
I hope he does that. I really do, because I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You're around these players enough, yes. And everybody says, you know, they get behind a certain guy. But this, in the NFL, it can be a week to week where a guy gets knocked out, guy gets hurt, somebody else has to step in and play. Yes, I think at some point you pick the guy that's your starter and you go with him. But I don't think there's anything wrong with letting them really battle, letting them work at it. That is, unless someone is just so far ahead and you say, all right, Matt Cassel has played great, we're going to go with him and then get EJ ready, or the other way around. But I don't have any problem with that. I especially with how solid this team is around him. You could look at the other way and say, you know, pick the guy. But let's face it, this defense and this team has done so many things with average to poor quarterback play over the last couple of years. I think the defense will be fine no matter who is out there. I think you got to have somebody go and take that job and earn it. And if it means a couple of preseason games in, so be it. And then get the guy ready, give him the last third game, get them ready for the season, and go from there. So I have no problem with it being a competition into training camp.
We're with Mike Catalana from 13 WHAM TV in Rochester talking about the Bills, and Chris in Buffalo joins us with some thoughts on the quarterback question. Chris, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today, John?
Okay.
All right, number one Bills fan, first and foremost. But really, when I look at this whole situation, I look at, other than the Patriots, of course, Miami Dolphins is probably the best all-around team. I mean, when's the last time we had a starter for 3 years? What, J.P. Lawson?
Quarterback starter. Yes,
other than, I guess, Tom Brady. Us and the Jets haven't had a starter in more than 3 years. Sanchez for the Jets. Buffalo, like I said, I went all the way back to J.P. Lawson. Like, it's just, it's kind of sad, but I think we have a better team. But I think Miami is a well-rounded team, and it's just amazing what the quarterback does. Give us a quarterback that was decent, and look at our defense, and you tell me when to make the playoffs. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Chris, thanks. And Mike, Chris brings up a point about, I think it's going to be maybe the central question for the 2015 Bills season. Can you win? Can you get to the playoffs and maybe get deep into the playoffs without having, going into the season, without having an established number one starting quarterback? I mean, they've done almost everything they could around him. But, you know, maintaining a really strong, one of the best defenses in the league, re-signing Jerry Hughes, committing to that contract, and then adding so many weapons for the quarterback to use. And I think to a certain extent, trying to get better up front on the offensive line, that's going to be the most intriguing question of the upcoming Bills season.
Yeah, you can do it. And look, and we just said, as you start talking about Tannehill, your call is right. He has been established there as the starter, but you know the Dolphins haven't been in the playoffs. The Dolphins have been very similar to the Bills in that way, where they just can get close or they start to show things. And that's with the same guy in there at quarterback. Now, maybe Tannehill becomes that guy. Maybe he's better in that way, and he leads that Dolphins team. But he hasn't shown the ability to do it. And even in late-season games, they had a chance to make the playoffs. He lost to the Jets a couple of times when they had an opportunity to, yeah, one time to get in the playoffs. So just because the guy has been there, you know, it, for the last few years, I don't think that necessarily puts him out of the Bills. That being said, they go into the season knowing who their starter is, and as opposed to what we just talked about, where at what point does Rex make the call and say, here's my guy. But that doesn't guarantee that that quarterback, whoever it is, doesn't play better than Ryan Tannehill this year.
Yeah. Mike, we've gone this far talking about the AFC East without mentioning the defending Super Bowl champions who've been all over the news. Are you surprised at how big this thing has gotten for essentially a slight underinflation of footballs? I know it's cheating. I know it's against the rules. It appears that there was some premeditation when it comes to the Patriots and Tom Brady's reported interactions with the equipment guys. But, boy, I mean, $1 million fine, a couple of draft picks, and a 4-game suspension for Brady. I was shocked at the severity of the punishment handed down last week.
I guess I was, except for the fact that, you know, look how they've responded to this whole thing. And they've been pretty defiant. I mean, you had the owner, you know, basically say to the league, you better apologize to everybody if nothing is found. And, you know, they do have it. And look, they have 4 Super Bowl championships, so they have earned a sense of arrogance, but they have it. And even with the league, they're that way. And I do think emotions play into these things. And I think the league decided that, you know, with their past transgressions and their lack of cooperation. And I do think the other part of it is, yeah, when you look at the specific thing about adjusting the footballs, that's minor. The part I've always had the issue was, you know, if it truly was after the balls were checked by the officials and then they were tampered with, see, to me that's different than a guy putting stickum on his hands or wearing something illegal on the uniform when he walks on the field, because that's a little less, I guess I would say, deceitful in that way. Mm. I think that played into it also. Now, I'm reading tonight that they're apparently, according to Adam Schefter, trying to work out some sort of whether he didn't use the word compromise, but maybe to keep this from getting bigger. Now, I don't know if that would include maybe a reduction in some way and you know, with no, you know, with a promise to not have any sort of litigation or any sort of anything beyond this. I think if I was running the Patriots, there would be a point I might back off a little bit and try to compromise with the league. But, they don't seem to have that mindset. And I think, you know, if this was Andy Dalton and the Bengals, this wouldn't be the case. It would have gone by as a minor issue.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's not, right? It's Tom Brady and Bob Kraft and the Patriots, and they basically are, they're the Raiders from the 70s in that way. A little bit of like, they've kind of gone a little bit away from the league in that way, and almost feeling like they've been unfairly tarnished and taken shots at the league. So it has been kind of fascinating to watch. But, yeah, you're right. For what it actually was, no one would ever thought it would have gotten this big. But I think their response to it had a lot to do with it.
One more call with Mike Catalana, and it comes from Kevin in Syracuse. Back to the Bills quarterback situation. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. You know what? I really think we are fine. You know, I've always listened to the national media, and I don't really – they're not dialed in into the Buffalo Bills organization. They're still mad that we have Cordy Glenn as our offensive tackle, that the national media have been trying to make him a guard since we drafted him. So I understand that. Now, the WKBW guy, Joe B., I have no faith in him either. So, but here's what I'm really trying to get to. Every time we scream – we need a quarterback. I can concede that. I'd rather have a whole team, and I'll need to find out if my quarterback can work with the team. Everybody knows that Matt Ryan is a pretty good quarterback, a very good quarterback. But you know what? The last 2 years, we had a better record. So give me the team, and let me see if I can get my quarterbacks to come up with the team, and I'll be just fine. I'm really fine with this.
All right, thanks, Kevin. I think most Bills fans would like to have a better answer at quarterback, Mike, but there's certainly no disputing the Bills have a talent-laden roster. In fact, you could probably, aside from quarterback, you could probably put the Buffalo roster up against anybody in the league right now, I would think. What do you think?
Yeah, well, certainly defensively. You know, McCoy is a spectacular back. You know, Sammy now has help at the wide receiver position. Clay gives him a absolute tight end threat, but... you know, the two things I was worried about from the offseason were offensive line and quarterback. They've been somewhat addressed, you know, in the draft and free agency and the trade to get Castle. But we'll have to see how that plays out. Those were the areas where I think you can still have, because you got to still be able to run the ball. Play great defense, but last year they could not run the ball. You got to be able to run the ball to really help your quarterback out. And I think if we see that offensive line come around, now you can say, wow, put a quarterback in there, you know, don't make mistakes, control the ball, make timely throws, then you can win that way. That was the difference last year. I mean, they couldn't run it.
Yeah.
You can't run the ball. I don't care how great you play defense. You can't put it all on your D. I think if they can run the ball better this year, that'll help whoever it is at quarterback.
Mike, looking at the calendar, we are 10 weeks away approximately from the start of training camp. Can you believe that? You've got to get your whole summer in the next 10 weeks.
Yeah, we're getting ready. I guess they're going to hopefully announce the exact schedule this week. And I think it's going to be a fun camp, too, with the Browns and everything else that's going on. And as you know up there, Rex alone will just make it, you know, a more enthusiastic camp, more entertaining. You know, things got a little turned a little sideways. And I got to break in another guy on the sideline, Murph, you know, another one of these coaches that comes in and I got to take care of him on the sideline. Really?
He'll have no trouble with that. Hey, one more. I used to recall that Rochester was sort of a Browns town, right? I mean, maybe – would you say that after the Bills, maybe the Cleveland Browns are the second most popular team in Rochester?
Yeah, I think they're still popular with a certain segment of the population where people, when they were, you know, the old NFL fans, they were either Giants fans or Browns fans. And even when the Bills were in the AFL, you know, there was a lot of – loyalty that way, and there's still a percentage. It's like there's still some old Cardinal baseball fans here because the Wings used to be tied to them, or the Orioles when they were tied to them. But oh no, there's still a percentage of Browns fans. That we have some people here in Rochester who have season tickets to the Browns, and go for every home game. So you know, there still is. I think that part is going to it'll bring those fans out. And I think the Giants are still ahead of them. Probably, I would say there's a lot of other teams that get some interest, but that's going to be fun at camp. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. Mike, thank you for this. We appreciate it. Always enjoy talking to you, and we'll see you soon, I'm sure. Thanks very much.
All right, anytime, Murph.
Mike Catalana. He is a sports director at 13 WHAM TV in Rochester and sideline reporter on the Bills preseason football telecast. Mike joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. When you get to camp or even moving into the OTAs and minicamps coming up, a lot of the stories deal with young players trying to make their mark, trying to win a roster spot. And coming up, we're going to be joined by one of those players, an undrafted rookie free agent wide receiver from the University of South Florida. Had a pretty good rookie weekend minicamp a couple of weekends ago and trying to follow that up with more good work. Andre Davis is going to join us in studio when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio. Bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out, bring them out. Welcome back to John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. The Bills rookies still in town. The draft picks whom we've talked over the last few weeks and the undrafted free agents, including our guests sitting right here in studio with us right now, wide receiver from South Florida, Andre Davis. Thanks for coming by, Andre. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
What's it been like now? You've been here about almost a couple of weeks. What's it been like these last 2 weeks for you?
I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying the team, all the guys that's been around here and the rookies, being around the rookies a lot. And I've been enjoying myself, definitely.
Tell me about coming here undrafted. Were you waiting by the phone on draft weekend? Did you think you might get a call maybe on Saturday of draft weekend?
Yeah, I was definitely with my family watching the draft. I thought I would be drafted, but I wasn't. And immediately after the draft, I got a call from the Bills and telling me how I have a great opportunity. And actually, I did my research, and if I wasn't going to get drafted, I was thinking either trying to go to Houston or come here, actually, because I felt like it's a great opportunity. You got a great receivers coach. Coach Rex is an awesome guy, and my receivers coach, he's a great guy as well. So I felt like I had a good opportunity being around guys like Sammy and learning from Robert and Percy, guys like that. Yeah. So,
what kind of research did you do? What were you looking for when you narrowed in on Houston and Buffalo?
Well, what I did was I had a bunch of sticky notes, and every team had their own sticky note. And I wrote down every receiver that was taken, and I actually researched every team who had receivers on the roster, how many they had on the roster, and I just looked at what team would be the best fit for me.
Did you have much contact with the Bills before the draft at, like, the Shrine Game, the East-West Shrine Game? Mm-hmm. Or who did you see out there, scouts?
I played in the East-West Shrine Game, and I talked to one scout.
Okay, from Buffalo.
From Buffalo, uh-huh.
And then are they selling you on Buffalo and coming here, or what are they doing? They're just asking questions?
They were just asking me questions. You know how the process goes about college and things like that, if I ever been in trouble and things like that. So
just doing their research.
Right.
Andre, the Shrine Game is in St. Petersburg, right?
St. Pete.
I'm just thinking, you grew up in Tampa, went to high school there, went to college at South Florida there, played in the Shrine Game there. That's really a base of operations for you, huh?
Yes, sir.
It's definitely a great city, huh? It's a great place for a young athlete like yourself, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of athletes in Tampa. You play against a lot of talent coming up, high school, even Little League, and being at USF, I had a great opportunity to play against a lot of competition worldwide, so it was definitely great for me. And then that East-West Shrine Game being right around the corner from me, it was definitely a nice experience as well.
At South Florida, were you recruited by a number of other teams, or is that the school that you wanted to go to?
My first offer was actually from Florida State University. That was my first offer, and it came down to University of South Florida and Florida State. And how I made my choice was basically I'm a different type of guy. I like to be different, so I didn't want to go a place where everybody was going. I wanted to kind of do my own thing, and that's pretty much how I came down to my situation at USF.
And maybe a chance to stand out more at USF as opposed to FSU, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, but I feel like going to FSU would have been a lot more competition for me as well, competing with those guys. But at USF, I definitely had a great opportunity to do what I wanted to do and be around my family as well. They were actually able to come to every game, and I had a good support cast, so it was nice.
I want to ask you about a couple of games. In your junior year, you had one game against Nevada, 12 catches for 191 yards. What a day that must have been.
Yeah, that was my sophomore year, actually.
Sophomore year, okay.
Yeah, my sophomore year. I think Duke Williams was actually on that Nevada team.
Oh,
as well.
Okay. Was he there? Did he remember?
He was there. He was number. I forgot what number it was. I think it was like 20 something. But he was definitely there. It came down to actually the last play, game winner. It was like a 50 some yard bomb. to me, and I scored the game winner.
Wow.
It was definitely a great game for me.
Was that the most memorable game of your college career coming in your sophomore year?
I would say so, yes, sir.
But you also, like your last year, last season, at Tulsa, three straight touchdown catches in the second half to lead USF to a comeback win over Tulsa. That had to be a huge game for you.
Yeah, it was. I was just coming off, and that was my second game back from injury, and I just was out there making plays for my team. I got a great opportunity to do what I did, and it came down to another bomb, another deep ball, and I made a play on it, and I was a game winner as well.
There's a pattern there of deep passes, catching deep passes. Is that maybe what you do best, is go downfield and get it?
I feel like that's what I do best. I have great ball skills. I love the deep ball, and I love going up and making plays.
When you think of guys who do that, though, normally we think of stopwatch speed. And looking at your numbers, it doesn't translate to great speed. It's pretty good speed, by the way, but it's not like Marquise Goodwin type speed.
Right.
So how do you manage to get open downfield?
I'm a bigger body guy, so I'm good. I know how to use my body. I know how to contort myself in the air. I have great body control. So, and I have had that for a long time. My dad taught me how to go up and catch the ball in my hands. I have great hand-eye coordination, so that's my game.
Did your dad play somewhere?
My dad actually played in high school, and after high school, he was baseball. He went to a community college and just fell by the wayside. Yeah. And he passed it on to me, so.
We're with Andre Davis, Bills undrafted rookie free agent, in camp with the rest of the Bills rookies. At USF, were there any coaches or even teammates who you thought were the biggest influences on you in the way you play now?
I would say I had a lot of great position coaches. First and foremost, the guy that recruited me, Phil McGagan, he's actually with the Miami Dolphins right now. I think he's the wide receivers coach. I had another after that, Jerome Payton. He played in the NFL.
Sure.
He played for the Saints. And then after that, I had Coach Dugans, he's still there right now. He was at Louisville with Charlie Strong, and now he's at USF, and he was a great guy. He played in the league as well, played for the Bengals, so I had a lot of great position coaches.
What do you think you did better in your last year at USF than you did when you went in? I mean, you're probably bigger than you were when you went in, but as far as skills and the skill set you have, what did you get better at during your time?
Throughout my time at USF, I got the biggest thing that helped me out was film study, learning how to break down film. Like I said, I had a lot of great position coaches, and they taught me how to actually break down film and not just look at myself making plays on film, just how to see coverages and see the safety rolling this coverage, if they roll this way, is that coverage. So they taught me a lot, and I feel like that really helps me a lot in my game as well.
Last year, your last season there, you missed almost half the season with a sternum injury, right? Tell me how you got hurt.
Well, it was actually the first game, second half. No, it was the first half, going right before the second half. I made a diving catch. I fell on my left shoulder, impact went across, and broke my first two ribs, actually, and so there was no rehab I could do for that, and I just had to sit it out.
And you came back and played after that?
I came back.
Did you wear, like, protective vest or anything?
No, I didn't wear anything. It was still kind of hurting me, but I was fine to play, and over time it got better, and I was good to go.
Did you take hits on that as the season went along?
Yeah, I took a lot of hits.
Probably felt them, right?
Yeah, but I had to make it happen for the team.
Yeah. Andre, when you look back at that time, you also managed to get a degree last December, right, in communications at USF.
Sir.
What's that all about? What are you thinking there as far as that degree and that course of study?
I'm a talker. I love to talk to people, and I love to communicate with people. So a degree in communications at USF, I felt like that's what was for me. I was in business at first. I really couldn't get into the business calc.
Yeah.
After I took that business calc class, I was like, nah, that's not for me. So I went into communications. Luckily, the base classes that I took helped me towards my communication degree as well. So that's how I got into it.
So now you're here with the Buffalo Bills, signed an undrafted contract, came up here for the rookie minicamp a couple of weekends ago. Tell me about that experience. There was only, 35, 40 guys on the field back then, right?
Yeah, it was only like 35, 40 guys, a lot of rookies, but it was a lot of competition out there, guys who wanted to show their stuff, and a lot of guys out there competing, and that's what I came here wanting to compete with those guys, the draft picks, and even the guys that weren't drafted, a lot of good guys out there. So that's all I want to do is come out there and compete.
I was watching that two weekends ago from the sidelines on Saturday of that weekend, and you made one catch on the sideline over Ron Darby, the second-round pick. On the sideline, you came down with the ball, came down pretty hard. Do you remember that play and what went on in that?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a great play. We had a go route and a sell route, and Coach always tells me, to run my routes to win. Even though that play wasn't designed for me, I ran my route to win, and the QB gave me a chance to make a play, and that's what I did. I made a big play down the sideline, exciting.
And you mentioned your receivers coach, Sanjay Lal, a few minutes ago, and just again now, what have you picked up from him over the 2 weeks you've been here? What does he work on with you mostly?
Oh, Coach Sanjay, he's straight with running routes. He wants you to be a guy to run great routes. He tells me a lot to what I need to work on the most is staying low on my routes and not giving my routes away. That's how you play at this level and you stay at this level, not giving your routes away, running good routes, and that's what Coach Sanjay stresses. He's a good guy. He's not gonna scream at you, but he's gonna get his point across.
When you say not give it away, is that I'm trying to envision, like, if you get up high, then the defender knows there's a break coming here, right?
Exactly.
And then you have to like fight the tendency to any of us. If you're gonna make a quick turn, you'll probably collect yourself, but you can't do that, right? Yeah. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm a tall guy, and that's one thing that I know that I have to work on, and that's what I've been working on: staying low on my routes and not giving them away.
You know, you mentioned you're a tall guy. You're listed as 6'1", right? Mm-hmm. It seems to me, and again, I only watched the one weekend, but you seem to play taller than that somehow.
Yeah, that's just me. I've always played bigger than my actual size, man. I feel like I'm a big receiver. That's how I play. That's me. I feel like I'm a big receiver, and I'm going to play like a big receiver.
Hey, Andre, what's it been like now? The rookie minicamp 2 weekends ago. Since then, it's what, the classroom work and on-field conditioning? Do you get on the field and do much of anything other than that? Or?
Well, actually, we run routes as a team. We had a whole team out there, and we going over plays and stuff. And it's been nice learning from Coach Sanjay, not only him, but also learning from the older guys like Sammy. And Sammy's he's a great receiver, smart guy, and he knows his stuff. I've been picking up a lot of stuff from him, a lot of stuff from Robert Woods, even Marquise Goodwin and Percy, the smaller, faster receivers, but they know how to get in and out of their routes, and they stay low, and that's what I'm taking away from them.
It's a pretty young group. I'm trying to think who's the oldest guy in that group. Is it Harvin, maybe, or Easley, maybe?
You got Easley, you got Hope.
Yeah, but really, there's not a whole lot of experience here. That's got to be a good situation for a young guy trying to make a roster, is to be surrounded by other young guys. Huh?
Yeah, I feel like we have a great receiver group, and all I'm going to do is get better. I'm going to learn from those guys and get better.
Hey, Andre, we talked before we started the interview about the long days you guys put in, and people may not appreciate it, but you and the rest of the rookies are housed nearby. You get here at 7 in the morning and get out of here at like 4:30 every day. That's a long day.
Yes, sir. It's a long day, but, I mean, that's what we signed up for. That's why we're here, to get acquainted with the plays and in the weight room and on the field work, and hard work pays off.
So far, so good, do you think?
So far, so good. So far, so great, actually.
That's great. I'm glad you're having fun. Thank you for doing
this
with us.
I appreciate you having me.
Andre Davis is our guest on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Out of time tonight. Thanks to Andre Davis for joining us on the show tonight. Mike Catalana, Ty Powell. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Like NOCO on Facebook.com/NOCO for great deals, specials, and more. Our engineer, Pete Cargis, Jay Harris, producer, and the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Tomorrow night, Heath Evans from NFL Network will be live with us, and a lot more to come as well. Join us tomorrow at 7 with the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.